this episode of DC On Screen. We're talking about The Flash Season 6, with an emphasis on the Corona Cockblock makeshift season finale. Barry killed the Speed Force. Did the new showrunner kill the momentum of the show? Or was it just impossible to be as good as Crisis on Infinite Earths? Or maybe the COVID shutdown robbed us of a finale that would have made all those other mediocre episodes that were defected totally be great in retrospect? So many things it could be! And it was probably all of them! Except probably not that last one. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 596. I am David C. Robertson, and this, my trusty co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions on upcoming projects, past projects, all the projects, believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. Today, we are talking about The Flash Season 6, with an emphasis on the season finale, because honestly, it's probably the last thing we remember and the thing we remember best.
Mm-hmm. At this point, yep.
Yep. You got any disclaimers?
Just up front, this wasn't meant to be a season finale, so we're going to talk about it, I guess, as though it is, but I feel like we're not talking about a thing that would... No one wanted this.
Well, okay. For what happened, it wasn't a bad finale in turn. It wasn't... I wasn't sitting here going like, this isn't a season finale.
Oh, no.
Look,
yeah,
we understand what happened. They had shut down production, but at the same time, my problems with the season finale were not problems... We're not just suddenly problems that I had. Like, my problems are this season has sucked.
I had some problems that I thought were seasonal, and I had some problems that I thought had to do with the episode. So my disclaimer is really that, yeah, there are things that I'm going to talk about that were seasonal and that I feel like were not interrupted, and there are things that were interrupted, and I'm really not going to hold that against anybody.
Yeah.
That was... parts of the wrap-up of this whole thing, the press, like the, I don't know, there really hasn't been a lot of press, but for the most part, we just know they did the best they could with what they still had in the bag, and that was all they had to work with. So, disclaimer up front.
By that stretch, they did pretty good.
Yeah. By that measure, like, for what they had at their disposal, yeah.
But, you know, but the key, my, like I said, my problems were the key storytelling elements that were already there. Iris in the Myriad. Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say what a missed opportunity I think it is across the board that, and especially on The Flash, that the entire season wasn't dealing more exclusively with pre-crisis and post-crisis, fallout. All right. I think
ostensibly they were in a way because
in a very vague way,
Bloodwork.
Yeah. Which probably the most boring villain. I thought it was the most boring villain until I met Mirror Master. And then I was like, oh shit. No, she's even worse. Like,
my only problem with Mirror Master wasn't, I feel like she's one of those that when they recut what they had left, which I estimate wasn't just like the last episode, we had to recut it. I imagine it was probably the last few you had to make into something.
Mm-hmm.
That is a horror villain. Like, if you do this correctly, and even given the powers they gave her in this show, that's a horror villain. Every reflective surface you look into could possibly be your arch enemy just reaching out and grabbing you. Or a loved one of yours, or that is a frightening concept.
And it's almost as if they would have to try to mess it up. And so, yet,
I don't think it was that bad in a way.
In another way,
I do deeply miss. I think there was a lot of missed opportunity there, and I want to know. I'm going to make a lot of excuses for the show because it's been very good to us.
Yes.
And I'm gonna I just agree. Wanna
it's
know
been good to us.
if the last four episodes that we didn't get had some redeeming qualities where that all this paid off. Like, this could have just been something that paid off too late and then didn't get to pay off at all. And a lot of the news that came out kind of said this is not where we wanted to leave it as far as the cliffhanger, but this is where we're going to have to.
Right. They were planning on bringing Thawne in.
Yeah.
They're talking about doing Reverse Flash for some portion of it.
Yeah.
But
well, they teased other versions of Harry, so
yeah.
Let's tease other Kavanaughs and see what happened.
And they've continued to do that, and I'm pleased with that. But here's the other thing. I'm going to joke myself first.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were going to do a Reverse Flash season?
Yep.
Do a Reverse Flash season. We already had him bring up, see you in the next crisis.
Yep.
And then we didn't see him in the crisis. They're like, well, storytelling just kind of went a different way. Bullshit. You want to bring in Bloodwork, you want to bring in like Lady Mirrormaster, whatever you want to call her, which is fine. I didn't like the actress who played her, but that's fine. I don't mind her necessarily being a woman.
No, that was not part of my equation at all. But I actually liked her portrayal. I just didn't like how much they detuned that set of capacities. Like,
yeah.
It made very little sense for her to be sitting there trying to manipulate. It made very much. I couldn't figure out why she was trying to like manipulate Iris. If it seemed like she could have gotten out before and done other things, I was a little confused about why her powers were just so latent.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with that, but I also didn't like the actress. I just don't. I haven't cared for anything she's done this season. I haven't bought anything she said. And maybe that's on me somehow. I just don't care for her.
I don't think that was a big problem for me outright. But yeah, definitely what they were doing with her sometimes.
And speaking of something that's not the actress's fault, though, freaking Iris remains a problem on the show. And it's not Candace Patton. It is their inability to figure out something to do with her. Like, we don't know what to do with her. I know. Let's shove her in a mirror universe and have Candace play some, like, doppelganger version who's kind of a jerk. Not even, like, really a bad guy, just kind of a jerk.
Yeah. No, I mean, I gotta agree with you there, too. Like, they could have done that. Like, this whole mirrorverse thing could have been done faster.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid I say the word faster, I guess, in the Flash.
Also, it's okay. You can say that.
Well, I mean, that storyline could have been wrapped up sooner. And also, I mean, well, all right, to get back to what you said, it was definitely not her fault. Like, all the scenes they gave her, all the emotion, like, I cried a little bit when they were doing the whole thing where they talked to each other through the mirror, and I don't know if you're listening kind of thing. That was a great scene.
That was a good scene.
It got to me. I felt things. Tears came down. Mm-hmm. This is not on the portrayal of the actors in the moments, even. It's just a matter of, like, where do we go this season? So, in terms of where do we go this season, you went to the Mirrorverse, and it has, it can affect you mirologically, I think I was going for it. Anyway, it can affect you in a real way, and that's great. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's a great villain. Come out and do that fucking thing. And I wonder how much they maybe had to kind of spread that and shorten the payoff and not get to go to another thing that they really wanted to.
Yeah.
I wonder whether they even wanted to really, I don't know. In terms of shooting, I guess they had plans for Bloodwork. And I'm not necessarily opposed to him. I really do like that actor. And I even like the idea that he's, as he put it, like playing the long game. That was actually one of my favorite things I've seen for that character in the show. Was him deciding not to get out right then. Like, no. Like, I have a plan. This is a nice little side bet that's good. But I have a plan for getting out. And I have a plan for taking the Flash on. And I'll get to my thing when I want to. Like, that actually seemed really cool. I appreciated that. But
I have liked that actor in the past. Here he is being super hammy. And I'm just not into Bloodwork at all. I'm just not feeling it. I've already seen him do a similar thing with Mohinder on Heroes, and
they're playing him into a type for sure.
Yeah, it's just a little exhausting to me. Like, I just
I don't blame you. It's pushing me a little bit in certain ways. Like, sometimes this feels good, and he's good at it. He's good at doing what this requires. And other times I'm like, yeah, I don't really care about what's happening. And honestly, costume-wise, sometimes one of my problems is just, did you have to color all of his teeth?
Yeah, that was weird. When they had the trailer.
That's on me, and, by the way, the aesthetic. I know that's on me, but still.
Like, when we had the trailer, the initial mm-hmm. trailer for the season, way back months ago, and he was introduced as Bloodwork, and he was talking about how he wanted to save the world and stop death, I thought, that is a really interesting conundrum.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really neat concept. I'd love to see that fleshed out. And then
It's called Torchwood.
Yeah. And it was they've phenomenal. Just done, yes. And they've done none of that kind of thing here. It's just been like, now I'm a villain. I experimented on myself and I stick my...
They got mustache twirly.
Yeah. I stick my venom blood into your brain and you're my puppet. And
no, I get it. And
they're I've got jelly on my teeth.
I don't like the teeth filled in thing. It's not my favorite part of a thing. But yeah, like I there are moments I love where like he pushes what's his name back, just knocks him out on the wall just to talk to Iris. I'm like, no, you're a Iris clone. You're Iris. Be like, no, you're different, aren't you? And that kind of thing. Like there were moments here that I really did enjoy, but also went on far longer than they needed to get the point across.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
honestly, to get to my biggest problem of the entire series is like, or season, sorry, is just, do we have to depower everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, that timer on the Flash wrist the entire time was just taxing.
And yeah, that killing the Speed Force thing was lame to me. I didn't care for that at all.
It had a place in the context of the multiverse and all the crisis stuff. It really had a place there that I can get behind. But it didn't have a payoff yet that I'm particularly happy with. If anything, Flash was powered up to his, you know, nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really, I feel like we just didn't get to see anything like that happening. And instead, we got to see a season where Iris, for all of her fucking deliberate agency that she's seemingly fought for, all these seasons that, like, Iris gets fridged is the term you want for it. Like, she gets fridged. That's actually the term. I normally just kind of don't know how I feel about the term when it's used, but that's accurate here. Like,
mm-hmm.
they just shove her in a corner. So all of that deliberate agency that I was just rambling on about is completely useless. We got a Killer Frost who can't really anymore.
Well, I think that was more because Daniel Panabaker got pregnant.
I'm aware. But the timing wasn't good. In the same season where Cisco is...
off traveling to Atlantis, yeah.
Yeah, chooses to undo his powers, and we've got like a version of Harry that's useful, but not at full capacity. Like, it feels like the entire show rolled back all of its characters.
Yeah, dude, Nash started out like the man who doomed the multiverse. He started off as that guy.
Yeah, he's fucking Pryor, one of the most powerful characters in the DC canon.
And then by the time we're done with him, right after Crisis, he's like the most boring man ever.
Like, yeah.
I'm just going to walk around and moon over this, you know, girl who doesn't know me. And to be fair, I don't know her either, but in my universe.
We haven't had time for that yet. You know, honestly, I've watched Tom Cavanaugh. I've watched Tom Cavanaugh with I don't know how many leading ladies over time, and I've always rooted for him. You know, I've always shipped that motherfucker. But it feels like in a...
Well, it wasn't a shipping situation. This. It was like surrogate daughter thing.
Oh, they just threw it right in. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, sorry. I'm misusing the word ship. That's normally sexualized, and that's not what I would mean. But anyway, to ask you the question, like, does this not feel a little bit like... There was a writer room kind of discussion where it's like, what if we peel back all their powers? And that sounds like a good idea. And then when you see it, it's like, okay, no one here has any powers.
I feel like, yeah. And I feel like that was done before the whole COVID-19 thing, because they were like, look, Crisis was really expensive.
I mean, that's real. And I there is probably some subverting the cost for that kind of thing that happens on each show.
But, you know, what I...
But it sounds like a good idea, like, philosophically. Like, we're, like, 7 years in. Let's just take everybody back. let's get them down to their core. And then once you see it, you're like, yeah, it's a super-powered show with no superpowers. What are we doing?
Well, one of my favorite things they did this season was the episode with Hartley. Of course, I always liked that guy anyway.
I did like that.
When then we went back and were like, oh, by the way, in this version,
he still hates you. He still hates Flashpoint.
So we've undone Flashpoint, but here's a big superpower sequence that we just yanked from a previous episode because it's a flashback. And now we're just adding in one little bit and you can move on with your day. Like, I
adding wanted in Cisco knowing that this is now canon again.
Yeah. I wanted more of let's see how this is post-crisis. And I feel like I didn't get a lot of that. Like,
and of all things, this was the show that I wanted that the most out of.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, number two in the generation of shows.
Yeah.
And also the show that has had, I don't know. I mean, the entire multiversal thing, the entire crisis could not have happened without the Flash being part of the canon.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a big deal. I still feel bad. Like, I feel like this could have wrapped up differently and I would feel very differently.
I don't think I would have felt that differently.
I think there were just a lot of things that I wasn't digging about where they were going this season. So
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry that this has become one of those reviews for us, but
that's it just is. It's okay. It's okay. It's, you know, we can't like everything.
No. Also, the whole Charlie's Angels split cameo thing, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I didn't care for that either.
Did not care for that at all. Like, that took me out of the show in a deep way.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Like, the closest I think I've ever seen to anything like that was on Legends, and even then it was a send-up. Like, yeah. The Flash's premise is not send-up shit. Like, it just felt very out of character.
And look,
I wondered if it was just because they had to do something to make the editing work.
I understand.
They did have to kind of wrap it up with whatever they had. But
yeah, they did. But, you know, I understand that the term fridge is usually reserved for ladies, because I know where it comes from, but yeah. I feel like they do it way more to Joe, and I'm sick of it. Like, it feels like they're always like, oh, Joe got hurt, he's got to go away now. Oh, Joe's being targeted, he's got to go. This dude is a cop who's put away shit tons of people. You tell me he's just gonna like suddenly, he's not been on a hit list a few times. Like, he's oh, well, I got to go away. I've got to disappear for half a season because
I will give him this though. Like, I'll fight back on this. He didn't disappear for half a season.
It feels like it every moment without Joe.
He was just gone for like two episodes, and then I think at the end of the second, he was already back. And then
stop hurting Joe.
He was being targeted by metas, and it was clear that like the big bad really wanted him dead.
Or kind of a big bad. It wasn't the real big bad. It was the big bad's husband.
Yeah, yeah. But the big bad at the time was the only person tangibly involved in this universe. Mm-hmm. So the big bad for the time, before actual big bad came back into the equation. I didn't disagree with him necessarily being benched for, you know, an episode or two, just because. Mm-hmm. I can deal with that. I mean, also, we've dealt with that in the course of the show. Like, when he had surgery and had to go out for a little while.
I know.
We made exceptions, and I'm not completely opposed to this kind of thing. The thing I hated at the time, and I actually did really appreciate this about the show. Like, when he goes out, remember the episode? At the end of the episode, he finally says, yeah, I'll go into Witness Protected.
Yeah.
And then Barry's there to send him off, and Iris isn't there. And then that mirror version of Iris comes back and kicks him out. One of the most rewarding parts for me this entire season was when Barry reveals his giant crossword puzzle, like yarn, sticky post thing. There's a phrase for this that I've forgotten. But anyway, the big conspiratorial mm-hmm. puzzle
right.
that he's been hiding from everybody to, what's her name? Cecilia. Right. So when he reveals that, I kind of thought, okay, this is the most I've really enjoyed this particular arc. Because the idea that Iris kicked him out, it really did betray everything we've been taught to love about their relationship. Mm-hmm. So when that actually ended up being the thing that Barry focused on, I really appreciated that. Like, no, you don't understand. We would have fought through this together. I think he phrased it as, like, she wouldn't give up on us or something like that. And
yeah.
we can argue about the phrasing of that if you want to, but the idea that that's the moment when he goes, no, 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 this is not the person that I spent this much time with, I loved.
Yeah. And he didn't really do nothing for real.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't think he did.
Well, I get what they were trying to hit, the point of like, you always make decisions for us and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not trying to even make it like a, well, he's the hero of the show and he's the protagonist and all that. I'm just saying, like, in this occasion, he really didn't. Joe made the decision. He just had his back, sent him off as soon as possible. You weren't fucking there because you were off doing your goddamn side villain bullshit. So when she had like a problem with it and pushed him out and all that, that was rewarding for me story wise because that made sense. That later he had call her on it and even when he calls her on it and later I really enjoyed the moment where like she breaks through as a character. I was actually like, as much as I hated, and I do hate doppelganger stories, I really hate them. They annoy me. I have trouble finding a thing I love about him, but her doppelganger grew on me. And honestly, I believe it's because Candace is fucking wonderful at what she does.
Yeah, she did a good job of making me care about her when she was like dying and said, I feel alive and shit. Like I rolled a tear for real.
I rolled a fucking tear, man. I mean, it was good. It was really, it was well done on their part. But yeah, the whole betrayal thing, that being a big deal for a few episodes, I kind of rolled my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments in the last few episodes where I just thought, I don't care about anything that's happening.
Yeah.
And I really didn't. You know the exception though?
What's that?
Sue and Dibby. I actually cared about that the whole season. They were fantastic. I liked her. Together.
Yeah. She was good. She was super cute. Dug it. The whole thing.
If they gave her a show, I'd be like, cool, man. Bring it on. What are we doing Wednesday night at 7? Let's do this.
They have, like, I am a huge fan of Brad Meltzer's Identity Crisis. I get the criticism about fridging Sue, because that's totally what they did in that story, what Brad did.
Yeah.
And I like this as a response to that. Like, I like this, like, super strong, witty, totally capable version of Sue, who isn't just like chilling at home waiting on her detective superhero husband to come back and
on his very best day Ralph is catching up.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I dig the girl who's playing her.
Oh yeah, she's great.
They're not at all shying away from the sex appeal of the character or the actress.
No.
And you know, okay. I'm like, like,
the only thing I
swear,
like, is like when she went into a deep British accent a couple times, they clearly used a voiceover to do it.
Hmm.
I think they did. Maybe I'm wrong. Did you not see it?
I did not. Bad. I wondered if the actual actress was British, but I don't watch it as closely.
It honestly sometimes didn't even feel like they. Oh god, I feel like I'm shitting on the whole thing. I always feel so bad. It honestly, in those moments, did not feel like the mouth and the words were doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It felt 80-yard hard.
Well, I mean,
I'd have to go
happened.
I can find that, though. But
generally, me or my wife will pick that kind of stuff up. Like, if I don't, she will.
Yeah.
Because we'll just be sitting there, and, you know, if I kind of look away, I'll hear, oh, girl. I'm like, what? What? Well, what happened? You didn't see that? No. All right, let me rewind it. Oh, no. Yep, that's it.
I mean, I've done that, but me and the wife normally watch things like in passing. We just generally don't have time to sit down and watch things together. So it's rare that we have that moment. But occasionally there's like a moment where I'm like, pause it, go back real quick. Like, what are you talking about? Like, go back real quick. And then we'll go back like 20 seconds. I'm like, listen to this guy again. Listen, does that sound like he did that? Does that sound like he spent like a couple weeks with a vocal trainer and they gave him the best they could before they did this bizarre accent on like Leverage or some shit. Yeah. We've had moments like that. But
did you hear that show's coming back, by the way?
Leverages?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't be happier about that.
So I liked Ralph and Sue. And that was about it, man. That's about all I cared for. I hate the depowered superhero storyline. If it's the superhero, I want to see it. But it's one of the reasons I didn't like Spider-Man 2 that much. I'm like, God, we're gonna do this. Like,
yeah, it's always my least favorite beat. It's something I wish I could walk into a lot of writers' rooms and just say, hey, I know this sounds clever, but it's not. Everyone tries it, and you're not going to be any different.
I remember trying to depower people and
find their inner core and all this other shit, and it's just there's a place for it, but you're not going to be the first that's tried it. You're going to be the last that's tried it.
Unless you're John Byrne, who's depowering Superman because, damn it, it's impossible to write good drama for a character who could juggle frickin' planets. Just say no to depowering. I used to get so aggravated, even when I was a kid, watching Beetlejuice, and they would have like some episode like, oh, due to some kind of bullshit in this realm, he can't do his Beetlejuice thing, he's stuck as whatever, and it's up to Lydia. I'm like, no, I tune in to see Beetlejuice do the things.
I get it. I really do. And I know the counter argument is, well, do you want to just tune in every week to like the Flash just becoming more and more powerful and getting better and better at what he does and being able to take people down more readily? Well, one, yes. Also, two. We kind of have been. We already have been. Like, It feels like a good idea, and I'm not discounting. I get why it feels like a good idea, and it is at times. Like when Vibe decided to get rid of his powers, that was actually a pretty good storyline.
It never made sense to me. It always kind of annoyed me.
I kind of liked his. He was also in his situation, he was one of the most clever people in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just genuinely a deeply powerful person just based on his reasoning ability, or his IQ, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have these other ridiculous powers, one, puts a lot of the effort on the show to kind of not let him just let Barry have cheat codes here and there.
Right.
And two, puts a lot of the effort on the show to, you know, just let him also do the same thing and acclimate and get better and all that. It's hard for me. On the one hand, I don't like depowering heroes because I just don't think it's the way the show needs to go all the time. And the funniest part about it to me, as I said before, is that it always does go that way and everyone thinks they're doing it differently and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But for the show to take all of its characters this season and depower them, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, this is absurd. There's no one on this show can do anything anymore.
Did we talk about on the show?
At some point, Pied Piper was on the show and he was the most powerful person there.
Yep, that is a thing that happened.
That's a really extremely underused power set. I'll give it that, but, you know, you see my point.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Did we talk about how the current showrunner Wallace is basically just spoiling the show?
No.
He just came out. He's like, don't worry, Barry and Iris will have a happy ending. I like happy endings.
Spoiling the show.
That is absolutely spoiling the show. Absolutely. It's hard enough to get my dick up for these shows sometimes because I'm like, there are so often no stakes. But you know what had stakes? Last season of The Flash, when we watched Nora die in Barry's arms. Like,
okay, I'll give you that. But I'll also
As we leave this season, we don't know where Iris is. We don't know what's happened to her.
No, but when you say, like, when the heart of the show is Barry and they've misused the whole lightning rod concept, I think, this season.
Uh-huh.
But when the show, I think comes down to Barry and Iris in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
When the showrunner pops on and says, you know, they're going to be okay. I'm not spoiled by that. Like, yeah, no, I fucking know that. We're going to get back to that. But what are we doing before that?
I'm just saying, man, like, these things have to have consequences. You can't just say.
It's another thing.
Or you shouldn't just say.
You've hit upon a thing. I don't think I ever felt like there were consequences to this season.
Not to this season. No.
I think that was the problem. My underlying problem with that season.
We may have had Barry and Iris and known that they were safe, but I mean, what about when Henry died? Yeah. You know, I mean, Nora dying, like, shit. I was even sad when alternate future Savitar Barry died. Like, yeah. There has to be consequences. Eddie died in the first season. Like, he died to stop that Thawne. Means like
something.
All of that shit meant something. And there have basically been no stakes in this season.
No. You know what I came away with this season? I can wrap it up.
A lot of complaints.
No, and it's the most we've ever had with The Flash. I think by a very long shot, this is the most we've ever had to complain about. And, whether we're complaining from any standpoint that makes sense is objective. But honestly, like, the things I'm mad about are Mirror Master being misused. That could have been more mischievous than it was. Sue is, I think, the major contribution to the season. Her and Ralph, like that contribution, they used it. I say I'm adding that as a side point. I should add that. That should be a positive. That was a good contribution to the season. I enjoyed it. But mostly it was like there was no underlying concept of what would happen this season. And I don't know if that was as a result of not being able to, like, have time to fully pivot from Crisis, because they didn't. They were shooting, and then a couple months later they were talking about shutting down.
Yeah,
but it was a time crunch for sure. But
I think it's the new showrunner.
Could be.
Now, he may have been doing a good job with the pandemic thing, because the you know, it wasn't the worst ending ever for the season. But honestly, like, the show after Crisis especially, but even leading up to Crisis, the show was not great. They didn't know they were getting shut down then. The bits that were leading up to Crisis were fantastic, but all the blood work shit was awful.
I think the blood work stuff really dislodged you a lot. And it was not my favorite villain. Actually, I remember saying in our little, like, wrap-up before that I was really happy that they had shut that particular storyline down in time to do this, because I didn't want them to have to, like, work that in and pick that up later.
Right, and yet here they are working it in and picking it up later for no damn reason, really, as far as I can tell.
You know what, though? And if they had to work it in and pick it up later, him just being in prison somewhere and, like, denying help from whoever was the big bad of the day and just saying, like, no, I've got my own game I'm playing, but this is cute. I appreciate it. Is maybe the most I've appreciated him.
Yeah.
Aside from me just wondering, where the fuck does anyone shit in those things? He's in a 3x3 cage.
I like to imagine they, like, you know, they, like, press a button or something and a toilet comes up from the floor or something like that.
I mean, that makes sense to me in the cages in the lab at Star Labs.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they have those little, like, you know, those things that retract or whatever. The pull-out things from Firefly or whatever you want to do.
Right.
Those look like they had that. He was just standing.
Mm-hmm.
Just standing in what looked like the shower stall that was installed in my house for 8 years. It was literally like an RV shower stall. He was living in, like, a high-functioning trailer park is what I was telling you.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Overall, I just think I wanted more of an establishment of what post-Crisis looked like for the world of the Flash. Not just Cisco holding up a binder full of clever little cards that he made, like, you know, collectible card sets that gave him the update.
Granted, with him and Nash, there was, I think that was a, I don't know, there was a lot to do with that. If I could just be, like, I don't know, fan shipping in some way. I could just be wishing for a thing, but that wasn't a terrible backdrop. Like,
I mean, if Cisco Nash was
having his time off and being able to come back and have all that information was still a lot to work with.
I think, and I'm assuming this is what they're going to do, but I don't know. I hope we get a version of this where this is just, like, all versions of Wells are in Harry and he can access them directly. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I really do.
He can just change personalities and, like, interact with the rest of the group.
I'm partially hoping that, like, Harry's just the one that's the strongest and he just comes back.
Yeah, I love Harry, man. I loved Harry.
Harry was great.
Allegra's kind of an interesting character. She can be when they write her well. Then Other times, like, dude, stop being a dick to Nash.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah, but he's also had this relationship with her where he goes really hard into, like, trying to make it a thing that's not. I get that. Like, I get how they were writing that.
Oh, you know what I hated, though, in this whole season is how many times they reused that scene. It's like this one scene where, like, it's like Cisco's girlfriend and Iris and Allegra, and they're all talking. All of a sudden, they all duck and they look up, and there's that vaping commercial in the middle of the show. That's weird.
Oh, God damn. Oh, the vaping commercials. Jesus Christ. And bear in mind, I disagree with absolutely 0% of it. That's a stupid habit. It's a dumb fucking habit. You look like an idiot. I'm sorry. I don't care how expensive your vape was.
Mm-hmm.
You look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And you smell like cotton candy.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. You need to stop. And it's probably going to have some side effect that we learn about in a few years that's worse than goddamn smoking. Here's my point. I'm done with these goddamn commercials.
They're awful.
They're terrible.
Like, how do they manage to make such lame
I would literally rather them just say what I just said over that. Just black screen with me saying, stop it, you look like a dumbass.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to see the girl in the sweater pouring orange juice, wasting like a gallon of orange juice, killing a vape. Like, what are you doing? This is so stupid.
There was an exploding version of this that just looks like it was one of those, like, what could go wrong videos that was waiting to happen. Which probably did in several occasions. I haven't looked it up, but I'll bet you I could find a lot of what could go wrong vape videos.
Yeah.
They were bad.
Anyway. Sorry, it just cracked me up every time they did it. It just felt like it was a part of the show for just a second. And they're just like, oh, wait, this is that stupid thing.
Yeah, it was the integrated ad thing. I really do get where they're coming from, and I appreciate that. I do think it's a bad habit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually helping anybody, and for God's sake, please stop. But this was just a lot. Also, the CW doesn't just, like, play something for you once in a while.
Mm-mm.
When you're watching something on their app, you watch that thing for, I swear, 6 goddamn minutes, an entire 42-minute show.
You're watching, like, three back-to-back commercials, the same guy from New Mutants going.
The same one. The same New times in a row before they went back to cut.
The same guy from... Before
they went back to scene 5 or whatever the fuck it was.
The same guy from New Mutants.
Yes.
Like, New Mutants in theaters now. Like, no, it's not. No, it's not.
The hell it is.
Stop playing this ad. Please stop saying that it's... That's oh my god!
Thing. Yeah, no, the repetitiveness is an entirely different problem, but definitely a problem the CW has.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll tell you, it'd be fun though.
What?
I actually wouldn't mind if Iris had some mirror powers.
Whatever. If it makes her more interesting, and gives them a place to go with her.
Well, it's never been that she's not interesting. It's just that they keep doing stupid stuff with her.
Yeah. If that's what they need to do to make her interesting, whatever. That's fine.
I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. I just, it wouldn't... You know, I'm also saying that in response to what we were talking about a second ago. Like, everyone got depowered. Fucking somebody's got to have some powers.
Mm-hmm.
Let us have mirror powers. Sure, sounds great.
Yeah,
they are whatever. Super scary.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a subset of powers that you can brush under the rug. You think you were getting rid of Vibe and getting something off your radar that you had to worry about every week? Well, give her those and
something about the way you said that reminded me of James Spader from The Blacklist. That is not a subset of powers you could brush under the rug.
Oh, I'm sure that's deeply untrue, and yet the most flattering thing my larynx will ever believe and hear.
All right, well, I think that's all I've got to say about the Flash.
Yeah.
This season. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be better next year.
I expect nothing less. I really do. It's
The showrunner needs to keep his mouth shut about what's going to happen, though.
Nah, I don't even hate that necessarily. But it was a shortened season. We didn't get to see the full payoff. Like, I don't feel like I'm grading somebody at all fairly.
Look, based on this season, I was pleased with that it was shortened. was like, thank God we didn't have to deal with three more episodes of that.
There were times. But the times where I was really unhappy were also in the like last stretch, where I feel like they were just making the best they could out of what they had.
Yeah. Except it was, for me, it was like I was getting happier as it got closer. It's sort of like how when you got to take a crap and you turn on your street and then all of a sudden you've really got a crap. It's because your colon's like, here we go. It's happening. Yeah. Anticipation.
Yeah.
It was like that. I was just like getting happier as the season got closer. I'm like, all right, it's almost done. Man, this is a bad season. All right. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing either, Iris. I don't know. I'm sorry. Look at her disappear. Okay.
Here's a crazy... Well, you may not think this is a crazy thought.
Probably not.
I've watched that finale, and let's see, Batwoman and Supergirl have finished as well.
Yeah.
I haven't watched those finales, and part of me is a little reluctant, just because we've enjoyed the overwhelming majority of The Flash we have enjoyed thoroughly. I mean, sat up talking about it. We hours of recordings of us talking about how much we enjoyed the show.
Yep.
And I was kind of a little bit disappointed by the cut and just what we had still after everything got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
That I've been a little reluctant to go back and finish the other shows.
I'll tell you this. And this can be a spoiler for the listeners on my thoughts anyway. The last three episodes of Supergirl are Lex heavy and they nail it.
Oh, the Lex stuff this season of Supergirl has been phenomenal.
Yeah,
Lena stuff has been pretty fucking great.
In my opinion, they nailed those last episodes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that's actually really good to know. I'm gonna dig into that soon.
Yeah,
Supergirl is solid. It's also like I knew our schedule recording wise, we weren't going to be able to do reviews for actually probably till next week at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little discouraged. So that's actually really good to know. Like I know the episode that I haven't watched is called Des Lex Machina. Yeah, I think that's the name.
Yeah, that's the next one on your list.
Yeah.
Shit, that's such a good episode.
It was a good title.
That's such a good episode. That's like nothing but Lex.
Yeah, and I say this as someone who is reluctant to Lena's, not her character in the show, but the actress, because I'd seen so much with Merlin and just was a bit done with her after several seasons of Merlin and a show that just never did anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it never did anything till like the last three episodes, it feels like. But not being her fault, we got into this, and I feel like the Luthors in general have really, really made a great impact on this season so far. So I was okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think it ends on a good note. I think it's solid. There are genuine like holy shit moments. I was pleased. I was very pleased. I did not finish Batwoman until after I knew Ruby Rose was leaving. So mm-hmm. Part of that was sort of plaguing me.
Yeah, that's been... Yeah. I mean, I haven't had time since the news has come out. But yeah, that has been worrying me.
But
also, I was thinking I could just watch it as like, well, I'm going to see how she sent the role out. And we'll see what happens afterward.
I will say, another spoiler for you guys, if you want to listen to... Wait until my review. But Hush wound up killing it. And also, they ended on a really cool turn.
Cool.
So,
I actually have a lot more hope now than I normally do.
Yeah, like
you
there
would
was
not want to like hand out hope about CW shows.
No, I'm not. But there was like news that we haven't talked about on the show yet because I didn't want to spoil you. But
thank you.
Holy shit! There's some cool stuff that happened.
Well, that's not even news. That's just shit that happened in the shows. We'll talk about that when the series thing.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So, Flash review. There you go. If you're a standard listener, normal listener, you know that you already knew where we stood on this for the most part.
Yeah.
But yep. There you go. A Flash review for season 6.
I feel like I should say we have every bit of faith that the show is going to make us happier going forward.
Oh yeah. I mean, it'll I don't know. This Wallace.
That way.
This freaking Don't go down that path. We're allowed to not like a thing. It's okay for us to not like a thing.
I've generally liked it. I expect I will like it going forward. I just feel like this was not the season they wanted to put into our hands.
I mean, whether it was or not, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't, like, I'm not pinning as much on...
It's definitely not the wrap-up they wanted to put into our hands. We know that part.
Yeah, I'm not pinning as much on COVID as you are, it feels like. But
oh, no.
I'm like, no, this was a shitty season before Crisis, and then it was awesome during Crisis, and then it was shitty after Crisis. And part of that is that it's not fair because there's no way they were going to be able to top Crisis, but yeah, also they didn't.
There's that.
For them to like go into Crisis and then also not top any singular season they've done before, or at the least not even meet it. They didn't even meet the standards of the previous seasons. Like, they were all over the place.
They were. No, the whole episode's felt like a pun fest, like a pun extravaganza.
Yeah, I mean, and yet, you know, and that's what we're going to really, I feel like we're getting more and more of as time goes on. It's the Family Guy American Dad syndrome, where it's like, if Family Guy's really good this year, that means American Dad's kind of shit. And then when American Dad kind of turns around, you're like, oh, shit, that's really good. God, they've got Patrick Stewart back for a lot of episodes. Like, Family Guy's just not working. Yeah. It's just, like, this, I kind of feel like that's what's happening. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, the worst season of South Park was when they were also trying to produce the, like, All About Mormons mm-hmm. stage show.
Right.
And then I honestly don't think they've ever come back from that.
Yeah, probably not.
I think it broke them.
I never thought they came back from the Who Is Cartman's Dad story. I was just like, ugh, whatever, man.
that was a good arc for a second there.
I was so bored with it by the time they finished it. No, that was what that's what killed me on them, when they were like, next week we're gonna find out who Cartman's dad is or whatever, and then it was like that whole, it was like an entire Terrence and Howard farting on each other thing, and I was like, I'm done.
Terrence and Philip.
Whatever it was. Terrence and Philip.
Well, that was
Terrence
intentional.
And
they were just messing
Terrence
with
your
expectations.
I don't care. That's that pissed me off.
They were playing with the normal sitcom expectations. The
I know.
Same way they had been playing with the whole Kenny thing.
I know get what it. They were doing.
I get that that could also be very boring very quickly.
Yep.
Honestly, the last South Park I ever watched was when it was that episode that Stan decided that everything sounded like shit.
Yeah, that I saw that. You showed me that, and I thought that would have been a fantastic series finale.
I genuinely thought, like, you know what? I don't have to watch anything else. This is a pretty good series finale for me.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
To a great soundtrack, Landslide. I could deal with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, this has been DC On Screen. Thank you for listening. If you want a whole lot of weird sidetracks. We just talked we just talked about Monk for like 20 minutes and you didn't even know it because I cut it out. It'll be on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Take it easy. Till next time, keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.